Father, hear us now as we come to your presence and to your place of worship to not just feel good, but to feel your spirit working in each and every one of us. Bless this service that it might honor you, for we ask these things in your name. Amen. As we crown him, let's affirm our faith this morning by reciting the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Scripture reading this morning from the Old Testament comes from the book of Psalm, the 27th chapter, the 1st to the 8th verses. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me upon a high rock. Then my head will be exalted above my enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Let us sing together. Hear, O my Lord, I see thee face to face.
Let us pray. O Lord, our God, our strength is in you and you alone. We have no help but yours, nor do we need another arm to lean upon. You are enough, Lord. You are enough indeed. You are our strength, our life, our light. And Lord God, we praise you and give you glory for who you are and for what you are in our lives. Hallelujah. May we join with the angels, Lord, in magnifying your name, in falling on our faces before you in humility, in raising our hands to you in glory and praise and honor. Father, we pray for the church universal. We pray, Lord, that you will restore to us the joy of our salvation in Christ, that you will help the church universal to lift the name of Jesus Christ above all those other names. For only in Christ will we find redemption, salvation, true happiness. Help us, Lord, to keep you the focus of our worship and of our time in this life, this side of heaven. Help us to make Jesus Christ our beacon and reflect his light to others, Lord. Father, we pray for those in this fellowship who have special needs. I pray for Ruth Crockett this morning. I pray, Lord, that the cause of her chest pains will either go away or be discovered and that she will be whole. We thank you that Renee is here in healing, and Lord, I pray for that ankle to be put back together and the pain to go away, miraculously leave, and make her whole. Lord, I watch my sister Peg come in today, struggling with that cane, and so thankful that she's able to be here. Lord, strengthen her body and give her grace, Lord, as she makes plans for transition to a new place, a new time. May that go very smoothly for her, God. Lord, I heard minor things today of people having colds and allergies, but they do interfere, Lord, with our lives. So I pray that you will touch our bodies, the major, the minor, anything, Lord, that would distract us from wanting to love you and give you all the glory. And may we be healed in such a way that we do give you all the glory, O Lord, our great physician. Lord, I want to thank you for the members of this fellowship who volunteer, who give so much of their time and energy and talent to do so many things. And they do it without being thanked. So, Lord, I ask you to bless them and help them to know how much we appreciate everything they do. And, Lord, we do pray for Judy. We pray that you will be with her and refresh her. And may her family visit be absolutely wonderful. And we ask you to bring her back to us, to RB, safely and secure and whole. But may every day that she's there, Lord, be a day of thanksgiving for her. Lord, thank you for new life. Thank you for children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Bless those who are parenting, those who are reparenting, those who are grandparents and great-grandparents, and Lord, help us to share Jesus Christ with those precious ones, that they may know him, that they may someday look back and say, it was my grandmother, my grandfather, who led me to know Jesus Christ. Make us your witnesses, your ambassadors. Lord, I thank you for Turf Valley. I don't know what we would do without it. I thank you for it. I thank you for the worker I hear in the kitchen right now. I pray, Lord, that you will bless that person. Sneak up on them and surprise them with your blessing. And help them to know from head to toe that you, Lord God, are with them. That you care about them. You know them by name as you know us. And I pray, Lord, as I have so often, that you will make this room your sanctuary. Any unclean thought or thing or deed that's ever taken place here, Lord, I pray that any spirit connected with that is gone. That your Holy Spirit will fill this place with your presence in us and through us and make this a sanctuary unto you. Lord, I want to close by just saying thank you for allowing us to talk to you as a friend, as a brother, as a healer, as a confidant, as a comforter, as a Savior, as our Lord. Thank you, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hear our prayer.
The scripture reading from the New Testament this morning, following in our sermon series, is the book of Luke, the 8th chapter, the 4th through the 18th verses. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on the rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop, 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on the good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken from him. The reading of the Lord. Let's stand together and sing, "Open my eyes that I may see, my ears that I may hear." Father, we do pray that you will open our eyes and open our ears and open our hearts, that we may receive the word that you have prepared. We ask now that you bless the speaker, for we ask these things in your name. Amen. Please be seated.
Well, I trust that the Lord has done exactly that. Your eyes and your ears and your hearts are open. Are you ready? Matthew 5, verse 13, contains very familiar words. "You are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth." Now, I want you to hear that with Jewish ears, listening to it as Jesus is sharing it, because they had different ways of perceiving what he was saying. And I'm going to share 4 ideas with you about what they might have been hearing. First of all, salt was associated with purity, because salt came from the living waters of the ocean and the sun acting on that water, evaporating that water. It also came from the Dead Sea, rich with minerals. And as that water would evaporate by the sun, the salt was left behind. So Jesus might have been saying, "Your life needs to be pure. Pure in what you say. Pure in what you do. Pure in what you think." After all, he's just said, "Blessed are the pure in heart." At least according to Matthew. How are you doing? How are you doing in those areas? How are you doing in your speech? How are you doing in your deeds? How are you doing in your thoughts? How's your purity? Well, number 2, salt was used as a preservative. After all, they didn't have refrigerators. They preserved their meat. They preserved their fish, especially with salt. So Jesus might have been saying that your life should be one that preserves what is good. One who wants to defeat corruption and help others to do good. How are you doing in that area? Is your life one that helps other people do good? Is your life one that inspires other people to want to do good? Here's a third one. We all know this. Salt adds flavor. Hallelujah. He might have been saying, live a little. Come on, get some zest in your life. Make life taste better for everybody else as well. Come on, be vital, be happy Christians. Oliver Wendell Holmes said this, I might have entered the ministry if certain clergymen I knew had not looked and acted so much like undertakers. How are you doing in that area? Are you a sad Christian or a glad Christian? Here's four. Another thing about salt. It was used as a weapon. They would salt the fields, the farmlands of their enemy, and make the farmland useless. So Jesus might have been saying that your life needs to be like a weapon that defeats your enemy. And who is your enemy? The devil. How are you doing in that area of your life? Do you attack the devil with God's weapons? Or do you just roll over and allow the devil to harass you? Well, what did Jesus mean exactly by you are the salt of the earth? We don't know. He could have meant all of those things, or even something more that we'll talk about. We just don't know for sure. But he had something else to say. He said, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. I'm told that you can go into a salt mine and you can find a big hunk of the mineral and you can break it off and you can touch it to your tongue and you won't taste anything because it's been exposed to the elements. But if you dig down into the rock and you get the mineral that has been protected from the elements, I'm told that you can taste the salt. The deeper you are and the closer you are to the rock of Jesus Christ, the more zest you're going to have in your life, the better you're going to taste, the better your spirit, your witness to other people. How are you doing in that area of your life? How close are you to the rock? But there's even more that Jesus might have been saying. You see, they cooked on a stone oven outdoors often, and they had a little pit under the tile on the top of the oven. And in the pit, they would put large blocks of salt because the salt retained the heat. But eventually, after use, the salt would lose its ability to retain the heat and it became useless. So they would throw it out. It was no longer any good. So Jesus might have been saying something like he did in Revelation 3:16. Where he said, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spew you out of my mouth. I'm about to vomit you out of my mouth. How are you doing in your life in that regard? Have you lost the fire in your belly that you had when you became a Christian? Are you a lukewarm Christian? Then Jesus says you're good for nothing. To be thrown out, trampled by men, spit out of his mouth. If your life is bland, it needs to get grand. Oh, it gets worse, folks. It gets worse. Maybe you need to have your saltiness renewed. Let me say that again. Maybe you need to have your saltiness renewed. That's why so many churches have revival meetings, revival services. Now, I grew up in the South. I grew up in North Carolina. There were revivals all around me, but I grew up in a Presbyterian church, and the Presbyterians were scared to death of revivals. If they had a revival, somebody might think they were Baptist. Oh, heaven forbid, lions and tigers and bears, Baptist. Maybe what we need is some good old-time religion. Get off your comfortable cushion life and step into the joy of having a real Jesus and a real life that cares. Dare to get a little more fired up about Jesus. Dare to dance. Dare to catch on to fire for him so that people catch on to fire for him around you. Like David said in his prayer, Lord, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Oh, I pray that for you. Lord, restore the joy of our salvation. Joy of salvation. Jesus continued, you are the light of the world. Saying that might have confused some people when they were thinking about it, because in John chapter 9, verse 5, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. So which is it? Is this a contradiction? Which is it? Well, let's read the context of that verse in John. Jesus said, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus has gone to the throne of glory. He's gone to the right hand of God. And until Jesus comes back again, you and I, we are the light of the world, reflecting Jesus Christ, reflecting his glory, reflecting his joy. You know what it's like when you go to a wedding and you're waiting for the bride to come down the aisle? That's a wonderful moment. They open the doors and they play something special on the keyboard and everyone stands up and everyone turns around and looks at the back. And there she is, dressed beautifully, groomed perfectly, radiant. And she walks down the aisle. She processes to her groom. And the closer she gets to the groom, the more she radiates. Their eyes meet. And the more she radiates. Why? Because she's in love. She's in love. She doesn't care about you watching her. She just cares about the bridegroom. Well, that is an example of being the light of the world. You see, you and I are processing down the aisle towards the bridegroom. And the closer we get to him, the more radiant we are. Yeah? Yeah? Are you a radiant Christian or a reluctant Christian? Let's explore that analogy of light like we did salt. I'm going to talk about three things. I'm going to talk about the fact that light is meant to be seen. It's meant to be a guide, and it's also used as a warning. Let's talk about light being seen. It's visible. Christians are supposed to be visible. We're not supposed to be secret. I bet that there are people in your life and possibly even in your family that you cannot say for sure are Christians. You don't know whether they're Christians or not. You've never talked about the Lord. They've never talked about it. It's private. You keep it in. Hush, hush. Let me ask you this. Do they know you're a Christian? Or do you keep it inside? Do you keep it all bottled up? How can you be the light of the world if it's private? You hypocrite. Let your light so shine. A light can be a guide. We use the lights, and we illuminate our streets with lights. We illuminate the airport runway with lights. We illuminate the waterways with lights and more. You are called to be a guide to salvation for those who need to see and know the way. You are the light. You're the guide. As long as Jesus is up there and we're down here, we got to do this work, okay? Here's another one. A light can be a warning light. A lighthouse is a warning light. A beacon can be a warning light. Blinking traffic lights. Danger up ahead. Watch out. In other words, you need to dare. You need to have the courage to do what God told us to do, and that is teach, admonish, warn, rebuke. Most Christians are lily-livered cowards when it comes to speaking the truth in love. I'll say it again. Most Christians are cowards when it comes to speaking the truth in love. Let somebody else do it, like Harry. He's not afraid to speak his mind. Jesus didn't say, "You are the light of the church. You are, of course," but that's not what he said. He didn't say, "You are the light of your family. Hopefully you are." That's not what he said. He said, "You are the light of the world." Who is that? That's non-believers. That's seekers. That's people who have fallen to the wayside and fallen away from the Lord. How easy is it to do, to be the light to people like that? It's not easy at all, is it? It's not. How hard is it? It's terribly hard. It doesn't come easily for some. Jesus also said this, he did not say this, "You are the light of the world when it's convenient." Get over it. He didn't say that. He also didn't say, "You are the light of the world while you're young." Okay, old people, you cannot get away with that. You cannot say, "Let the youth do it. I'm tired. I've done my thing." No, you seniors need to be the leaders when it comes to being the light of the world. Get off your comfortable cushion life and let your light so shine. He didn't say, "You are the light of the world when it's non-threatening or when it's easy." How easy was it for him? How hard was it for him? How painful is a cross? And then Jesus said, "A city set on a hill cannot be hidden." There is a town in Israel called Safed. It's one of the most holy cities for the Orthodox Jew, one of the four holiest cities for the Orthodox Jew. It's located high on a hill beside the Mount of Beatitudes, adjacent to the town of Capernaum. And it was built of white stone, and it's still there today. And when the sun shines on the white stone of that hill, on that city, on that hill, it reflects the light. And everyone can see it all over the Sea of Galilee. Jesus loved to teach and give parables with things that were visible and understandable and common everyday things. I can see Jesus pointing. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. You need to be a light. Are you listening to me? You can't hide it. On December 29, 2012, from a boat on the Sea of Galilee, I'm going to point to that city and I'm going to say, "A city set on a hill cannot be hidden." And when your eyes see it, you will never forget it. Our Christianity is supposed to be visible. Our faith is supposed to reflect Him the way that city reflects the light. How are you doing in that area of your life? Do you reflect the light of Jesus Christ so that everyone sees Him? Or are you the type of a Christian who wants to absorb the light and get all the warmth from Him you possibly can for your little part of the world and then keep it right there? Love Jesus. Forget everybody else. Jesus isn't through with us yet. He goes on to say, "Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house." He was talking about something that they all understood, because in every home, there was a container, and the container was a measuring bowl. they would measure the grain in this bowl. Everyone understood what that thing was. And it's silly. It's ridiculous to light your oil lamp and go over and take that bowl and put it under the lamp. It's stupid. What good is it to do that? What makes people hide their light? What makes people hide their light? What makes you hide your light? I'm going to suggest a few things. Fear. God did not send a spirit of fear, did he? Shyness. Some people are shy. Nothing wrong with that. But you cannot hide behind your shyness and say, well, I don't have to be a light because I'm shy. Conforming to the world. Well, we don't do that here. We don't get excited about Jesus. We don't talk about things like this. That's just the way it is. Let's do it the way everybody else is doing it. Or maybe it's because some people only have a sentimental attachment to the faith rather than a commitment to the faith. How are you doing in that area? Are you just sentimentally attached to Jesus Christ, or are you committed to Jesus Christ? Now, Jesus brings all this to a climax. He says, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. See your good deeds. Now, the word good there are two different Greek words for good. One of them is just describing the quality of something being good. The other one, however, describes the beauty of something that's good, something that's attractive. Like a moth is attracted to the light. The good deed is so beautiful that people go, oh, look at that. Watch that. Some people have suggested that this seems to be a contradiction, that Jesus is saying, be humble. And then he says, let your light shine. Well, it's not contradictory because he did not say, let your light shine before men that they may see you. He didn't say that. He said that they may see your good works. It's possible to allow your light to shine for the wrong reason. Notice me. Notice me. See what a good Christian I am. I'm getting merit badges in Christianity. Have you ever gone out on an early summer night and caught lightning bugs? And put them in a jar and enjoy watching them and the beauty of them and so forth. Have you ever done that? That little light of that lightning bug is created with two chemicals. And those chemicals are considered very rare and very expensive. Here are their names. Luciferin and luciferase. Both of those have the same root word, Lucifer. 2 Corinthians 11:14, it says, Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. That's a danger we face, brothers and sisters. It's possible for us to allow our light to shine for the wrong reasons, and Satan can be involved, masquerading through us as an angel of light. How are you doing in that area? Are your motives pure when you let your light shine? Listen to this poem, and listen to this poem carefully. It's not very long, just three stanzas. Listen to this poem. While others may be stained glass or rainbow hue, I would be a window pane for the sun to shine through. A clear glass, a clean glass is what I would be, unconcerned with temperament and personality. I would have the sun shine through me, so my friends would say not, what a lovely window pane, but what a lovely day. finally we come to the goal that Jesus had in mind all along. He said, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Hallelujah. How are you doing in that area? Brothers and sisters, that's our goal. Our goal is to glorify God in what we say and what we do and what we think and what we feel and what we pray and how we live. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. You know it. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. That was called harmony, by the way. It's not that I got off the melody. Praise God that we can bring life and we can bring light into this dying and this dark world because of whom? Jesus. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for challenging us. You know, Lord, that we lose our zest. You know that we prefer darkness sometimes. Lord, help us to revive our saltiness and to increase the radiance of our lives for Jesus Christ. Revive us, Lord, and restore to us the joy of your salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand together as we sing, Revive Us Again.
And now, brothers and sisters, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of His Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.